Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna. This is your radio show on mining and frontier Alaska, past, present, and future. Folks, we want to give you an opportunity today to call in if you have a question or care to make a comment on Alaska Gold Trails, or maybe you just want to chat for a few minutes, or perhaps you want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences. The number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. What do we generally do first here on Alaska Gold Trails? I think we first have our contest. And as the rule, we generally have somebody out there in listening land give us a call and do a sponsor for us. And today, the lights are already lit up. Today, we have a sponsor who is located at 721 Gaffney. Their number is 452-8141. If you know who that sponsor is and would like to tell us who they are, where they are, and a large amount of detail on what they do, you can win a 1 troy ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining. So the first thing you do is you phone them at 452-8141, find out who they are, where they are and what they do, and then you give us a call here at 479-TALK. That's 479-8255, and be ready to perform. So let's see what we have here. We have a broken phone line. Yeah, that should work now. Hi, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello? I can hear you. Hello?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
I can't hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can't hear a thing, but if you can hear me, I'll just turn on the radio and I'll tell you who it is, but I can't hear you.
Let's try it again.
Okay, I got you. You got me?
Yeah, I have you now. Oh, that's wonderful. Lowell Purcell is in here playing with the buttons, and it's wonderful because he has played with some buttons that I have never even seen before. But can you hear me yet?
I can hear you just fine.
She can hear me just fine, Lowell. Thank you very much. Strange buttons over there in the corner.
Well, let's not talk about buttons. Let's talk about 452-8141.
What about 452-8141.
That's Macaulay's Reaper Graphics.
Macaulay's Reaper Graphics.
And my favorite thing that they do is that one of your listeners called in one day and said they reprograph.
You remember that?
Yes, I thought it was funny. I mean, they reprograph. It makes sense, you know. Reprographics. They reprograph. But that's that's not quite what they do.
Tell me all about what they do.
I remember you've explained something they call a hip chain. They sell these hip chains. And I'll tell you all about it, but what they generally do is they have engineering and architectural supplies. They sell compasses, drafting equipment, pens, pencils, anything you need to make maps. When you're going out in the field and you want to make a map of the area you're in, they'll sell you the supplies to do that. They also sell all the pens, like I said, and they sell these books that are good for if you're outside in the rain.
Uh-huh.
The paper.
You mean the Ride in the Rain field books?
Exactly, yes. Little yellow book.
Uh-huh.
It works perfectly. The only other thing you've described is this hip chain, and I've never seen it, but you put it on your belt, and you walk with it. And I guess you use it instead of a long metal tape.
Right, and what happens?
People would normally use a big metal tape, hundreds of feet long.
Uh-huh.
And you need that, but with this hip chain, you wouldn't need that. You just walk, and it measures out the distance, so you can accurately measure out the length of your line. And then a thread moves out of the hip chain. You tie one of the ends of the thread to a post.
Uh-huh.
And you walk out, and it measures it off. Just does it by magic.
Over across hill and dale, is that right?
No, I think over the tundra.
Over the tundra in Alaska.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do I win?
Do you... Do you win?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you've done a pretty good job. Where are they located once again?
They're on that Daphne Street, you know where that old paint store is across from the gas station?
Uh-huh.
721 Gaffney.
721 Gaffney. And what's their phone number again?
452-8141. Do you know what? I was in one of your sponsors' places yesterday.
Is that right?
B&L Pawn Shop.
Yeah?
I was hoping you'd call about it or have that because I was just in there yesterday. It's a marvelous place, too.
Yeah, what did you see in there?
Well, what I saw was all that wonderful jewelry.
Well, what I want to do here is I want you to give me a sponsor and I won't have to give you a silver ingot for it, so I'll get two for one here.
I'll tell you what I saw there in the shop yesterday?
Sure.
I saw many sets of binoculars, all in perfect shape. What I was particularly looking for were bicycles. They didn't have enough, a selection of bicycles, but believe me, everything else is there.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing they're missing.
Why were you looking for a bicycle?
My bicycle was stolen right out of my yard 3 days ago. A perfectly good bike. Hot pink, girl's bike, 24 inch, great big speed. If anybody sees it, call 479-6323.
Is that right? I wouldn't be caught dead riding a hot pink bike, I'll tell you that much. Not at this time with you on the prowl. So you went down to B&L Pond to find out whether or not... Are you sure you didn't go down there to see if somebody did a hawk?
I don't think... I think that's misinformation. Many people have that impression about pawn shops.
Uh-huh.
That they deal in stolen merchandise.
I don't think so either.
Not
but what
me.
What I was thinking is that you were probably well attached to that hot pink bicycle and you were just looking all over town for it.
Yes, I am. I've been looking for those places. I've been walking even, you know, on all these bike trails looking for that bike. The bike has a great big seat.
Uh-huh.
I replaced the original seat. It had one of those little tiny white ones and I put a great big one on and the seat is worth more than the bike.
Is that right? Well,
yes.
Tell me some more about what they have at where's B&L Pond located?
It's there by, now that is a great location because it's easy. There's plenty of parking there and it's across from Sears. It's also on Gaffney, just a little beyond Macaulay.
Uh-huh.
605 Gaffney.
Uh-huh.
But the reason everybody should go there, more to just shop, I think a lot of people go there only when they need money.
Uh-huh. And they don't go there to shop?
I think they need to go there and look at the merchandise.
Uh-huh.
Especially, like I say, the jewelry.
Yeah, you like the jewelry. But they have, cases and cases of cameras and guns.
I'm not finished.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Cameras, stereos, all kinds of tools. I bought my husband some tools. They have every kind of tool you can possibly think of.
Uh-huh.
Guns. I looked at the guns, too, and every man here in Fairbanks likes guns. And if I were a good wife, I'd be down there and buy more stuff for my husband.
What,
I said that wrong.
I know.
I said that all wrong.
Well, is your husband listening to this? Huh?
He is, and he's nodding his head in a very affirmative manner. I were a good wife.
Okay.
I want one of those silver ingots.
Oh, well, that's just what you've done. Yeah. Only one other question. What's the date today?
You had to ask something I didn't know. I know it's sometime in the first week of September.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. I'll look at the calendar. I honestly don't know the date.
Okay, I'll tell you what you do. What's your name?
My name is Rochelle.
You have a last name, or do you want to just put an initial? Or are there a lot of Rochelles around?
My bike is missing. 479-6323. I don't mind at all. My last name is Elliot.
I see. Got you down, Rochelle. And you know what to do. You come up here to the studio at Washington Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
And you pick up this certificate that I have here for you. And you carry it over to Oxford Assaying and Refining at 208 Wendell Street. You know where they're located?
Yes.
You want to talk about them a little bit? Have you ever been there before?
I've looked at their jewelry, too.
Yeah.
They have a nice display of jewelry, not as much as B&L Pond.
Uh-huh.
But the prices are reasonable, both prices. And I think everybody should treat themselves to something special. If they have some extra money, I'm not trying to take the money out of the...
What about gift-giving? Do you like to do gift-giving? Have you ever thought of silver ingots and silver coins, gold coins?
I won a silver ingot from you about 6 weeks ago, and I sent it to my sister for her birthday on August 4th.
Uh-huh. Did she enjoy that?
Very much. That's why I want this one for my brother's birthday.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, well,
another good reason to listen to Alaska Gold Trails is that you can get gifts for your family.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice that you took that prize that you won and sent it off to your family. Would you suggest to the listening audience that going to Oxford Assaying and Refining and obtaining one of these silver ingots or perhaps one of the silver coins or other types of ingots that they have over there and send these as gifts as possibly one of the finest gifts that you could possibly give?
You said it better than I can say it. You're absolutely right. But my husband says that every person in the audience should also call Oxford Assaying and find out the price of gold and silver and platinum. Instead of spending money, they should invest.
Do you happen to know the number that they would call to...
I call it every day. I know what gold and silver and platinum is, yeah.
Do you know what it is today?
Well, the number that I call is 4527858, and gold...
Uh-huh.
Well, wait a minute, it's written down, my husband. Gold is $360.20. Silver is $5.117. It's up to whatever that means. And platinum is 474, down 4.30. And I haven't the faintest idea what he does with all these numbers. Let's not go on with it.
Oh, okay. How about a little more information if you'd like to know what Mr. Elliott does with all those numbers? You might want to gather that information from Oxford Assaying as well, and you can get that information at 456-3967. And we're going to talk a little bit more about Oxford Assaying and Refining in just a few minutes, but we also want to tell all the listening audience that Oxford Assaying and Refining are known as the precious metals people, and that they're located at 208 Wendell Street, right here in Fairbanks, Alaska. So give them a call if you have questions about gold, silver, even platinum, and perhaps if you have some questions about investment possibilities in the precious metals field. Rochelle, thank you very much for participating with us on Alaska Gold Trails, and I hope you'll continue to give all my ads for me. And once again, don't forget to stop up here, get your certificate, pop over to Oxford, and they'll give you a 1 troy ounce silver ingot.
Well, thank you, and thank you very much for your program.
Thank you. Bye now. Well, that was very nice. And this afternoon, my guest is Robert Charlie. And Robert Charlie is an old-time Alaskan. Welcome to Alaska Gold Trails, Robert.
Thank you.
Robert, tell us, when did you come to Alaska?
1927.
In 1927, where'd you come from?
Good question.
Good question.
I was born in that year.
You were born in that year, 1927.
Yeah.
And where were you born?
I was born in the flats, in the Minto Flats area, just outside of Old Minto and New Minto now.
Uh-huh. And give us a little bit of information about Old Minto and what it was like in your early days here in Alaska as you grew up. Something about the community, something about the trading post, if you would.
Okay. The community of Old Minto was was founded in the early 1900s. By Chief Charlie, who was the traditional chief back in those days. And if a lot of you read a little bit of history on Wickersham's notes, Chief Charlie met with one of the chiefs that met with Wickersham over some land issues back in 1913. And before the settlement of Fomento, people were just living in seasonal camps and just sort of migrating with every subsistence type of food they can gather.
When you say seasonal camps, Robert, by the way, one other question. Chief Charlie and Robert Charlie, how are they related? There's a name connection there.
Some relationship there. He's sort of my grandpa.
I see.
And on my dad's side.
Okay, now that we've got that connection established, the next question is, you talked about these camps and the people were a bit nomadic and that they wandered from camp to camp. And now, was this because of the food and the available of the food at different times of the year?
Yes, that's what we call seasonal camp.
Uh-huh. And was there a different, apparently, you weren't following the game, or just how did that work in terms of the kind of camp? Was it a camp that, for example, one camp would cater to the moose population and another to a different kind of animal population and so forth?
Yes, back in the year I was born, it was in the spring of the year, and we were out at a muskrat hunting camp during May, and back then my parents traded muskrat fur for whatever their needs are, like food and hunting gears and stuff like that. And that lasts about 2 months, and then they go into the summer season, which would be the salmon fishing season. It's either done on the Tanana River or back in the Lake Mentos for pike, whitefish, and other freshwater fish. And the other season is the fall season, like right about now. It's berry picking time. We gather all sorts of berries for the winter and store them away in birch bark baskets. And the birch bark baskets were made by family members. Mostly mothers and older daughters helped put these baskets together. Then the men would be busy out hunting moose. From stories I hear, moose weren't that plentiful back when I was a kid. So it was kind of hard to get a moose for the winter. And then you would go into the winter season, where we done some trapping, and not too much hunting, but trapping took up all the time, and we had to spend a lot of time in the camp cutting wood and getting daily work chores to keep the camp up. And then that would be up till around February, and then the beaver season opened would take place, and then that's when people start trapping beaver through the ice, and that take about another month.
Well, Robert, and let me just ask a question regarding, now this was back in the 1920s, is that correct?
Yes, this
okay.
is correct.
Now, there wasn't really a season, a law type governed season, but a season that you established as the main time for collecting beaver, is that correct, because of their pelts and so forth?
Yes, back, I remember back when we were moving around these camps, the only law enforcement would be a game warden, a federal game warden. And he's a person to be expected at any time, at any place, you know. And although he doesn't get out there very often, but he does come and show up one day, and everybody always kind of keep an eye out for him, although there was no problem keeping in the law, because what mm-hmm. they were doing was what the type of living they always did, you know.
Mm-hmm. Strictly subsistence.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So then I want to just jump back just a little bit regarding, you said you were born in a muskrat camp?
Yes.
Uh-huh. A muskrat camp. You weren't born in Minto then. You were born in one of the out camps.
Yes, I was born outside of where New Minto is, up about 4 miles up Tolovana River from New Minto.
Uh-huh.
And just in the spring of the year.
Okay. Let's go once again. What type of structures were around Minto? I mean, what kind of housing facilities, dwellings did you have in Minto during those early years?
Well, from stories that's been told to me, when Chief Charlie founded the village, at first there was only two cabins. They were built out of logs and board flooring and some type of window, and that was your house. Sod roof and that type of mm-hmm. material.
It seems to me that I just heard from a friend that they used to strip the hides off some of the animals very thin and use that thin hide as windows. Is that correct? Did you ever have that experience?
No, not since I remember, because when I started remember, they started having window.
Glass.
Glass.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And did Minto then built up from the two log cabins? Did they then continue with log cabin structures, or did they put in frame structures, or just how did it develop?
Well, Old Minto, they started with the two log cabins, and then eventually people started building cabins. And then up to the 30s, 1938, there was probably around 20 or 30 cabins in Old Minto by then.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was the year they built a school down there, the first DIA school. And it took them 2 years to build that school. And it's still standing up, and it's still usable once they get it to be fixed up.
Mm-hmm. In regards to the community, then, did you have a trading post there? And let's see if we can't build the atmosphere and the character of the community. Did you have a trading post in a church or something of that nature?
Yes, they had. Before they built a school, there was an old two-story log house that was built by a well-known craftsman. I believe his name was Chappelle. He hewed all those logs into three corners, three-sided logs, and placed them into place and built a two-story building. And at that time was him, Uncle Arthur Wright, who's Sal Wright and Garris and all those guys' dad, was the teacher and minister down there in Old Minto.
Mm-hmm.
And the two-story building was a neatly built building. And he also built a church, and the church is still standing there in Minto, the same craftsman.
Mm-hmm.
And we had community hall, which was built by the public people in the village, all handwork. And then this store that was established by Johnny Campbell. It was 2 miles downriver from Old Minto. But now this guy was really a gentleman. He was there for a purpose. He put up what he wanted to, and he wanted to see that the people got food year-round, and he just lived there with the people, and he knew everybody in the village, kids, name, everybody. And he was really a character because he loved people. And he did it not only for profit, but he did make very little profit, but he did it mostly for the service in the community.
He came there to live, in other words.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And become a part of your community.
Yeah.
Well, so then we've established that you did have a full community in terms of a church and a school and a trading post nearby, within 2 miles of the village. And Robert, what I want to talk about now is the comparison of the outcamps, what they were compared to what the village was, right after a couple of messages from the people who support Alaska Gold Trail. So we'll be right back with you. Folks, we of course have a number of people who have helped us with Alaska Gold Trails, made it possible for us to have the show on the air, and they are true sponsors, and they care about the history and the information that's given here on Alaska Gold Trails. And one of the sponsors that's been with me from the very beginning is Gabe and Kathy out at Gabe's Truck and Auto. And I just want you to know how grateful I am to them for sticking with me through these past 2 years. And it's, it's kind of nice to know that they were awarded here a couple of years ago the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce prestigious Raven About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. And I'd like to also add at this time that Gabe's has 2 large shops and 8 mechanics on hand to serve you. And you know, when you got that much support, that you're going to get fast, courteous service, and you're going to get your vehicle back in a hurry. And a couple of things that you might like to know about, in addition to engine and general vehicle maintenance, is Gabe's can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair mount and balance tires. And another comment is that new and rebuilt engines come with a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranty. And the part that I like the best is I remember way back when the IM inspection came in and everybody was required to have their vehicles checked for emissions control, and it was Gabe's Truck and Auto that initiated the no pass, no pay policy, as far as I know. And that means simply that if your car doesn't pass, you don't pay for the test. So, with that in mind, you can see that Gabe's Truck and Auto is a part of this community and is out to serve this community. Also, you want to remember, cold weather is about to come upon us. Gabe's has excellent towing service. He has 3 wreckers available 24 hours a day, and he can handle any size rig. Getting a tow is as easy as calling 456-6156. And I've often told people that you might want to write that number down, put it in your glove compartment in case you have an emergency, for easy access, and Gabe's will come out and take care of your problem. And once again, you can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field, or give them a call at 456-6156, and don't forget, tell them you heard Jim Madonna talking about them. We'll all be happy. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I've been listening to your guest, and I'm enjoying him very much, and I'll ask questions about him again, but I really need to thank you. I'm the lady who won the Silver Angus.
I recognize your voice.
I'd hardly hung up the phone, and my phone was ringing, and it was a man calling me to tell me he knew where my bike was.
Well, and how nice.
Isn't that marvelous? I mean, I have done everything to locate that bike. I've been searching. I've called both radio stations, Problem Corner and Radio. I've been to police stations. I've been to the bike shops, the pawn shops.
Isn't it nice to have a radio station in Fairbanks, Alaska that serves the public?
It's just marvelous. And
you know, I'm proud to be here on KFAR. I think it's swell that you found your bike, and I think that Bill Wally and Tom Farrell and what's that other guy's name that's on radio?
Lowell Purcell.
Isn't that nice?
He's on the morning.
And Gail, yes, we can't forget Gail. That's our star here on KFAR.
And Guy Fatley took Bill Wally's place.
Is that right? You want to tell me a little bit more about KFAR and what a wonderful place it is?
Well, yes, I listen to it all the time, except when it gets really heavy. Once in a while, it gets a little heavy, and then I switch to KCBF and get on the kitchen.
And no fair promoting the competition.
KFAR is on in my house. I listen to Bruce Williams every afternoon, 3 to 6. I was one of the lucky people who got to go and see him.
Okay, well, we're glad you found your bicycle, and thanks for listening.
Well, I want to thank your audience, too. I've had 2 calls about my bike. The first was I double-checked it, that the bike is there. In fact, the man said to me that no one would take it.
Uh-huh.
And because it was so different. Yeah, just like you said, he said, who would get on a hot pink bicycle?
Thank you, Rochelle.
Thank you.
Bye now. Well, once again, we came through. Robert, what about it? Tell us the difference, the variation between the out camps and the village of Minto. What were they like? Were they cabins, or were they just small shelters that were put up for a short period of time?
Some of the out camps would be trapping cabins, but most of them would be tent type camps.
And so would the out cabin would be the central point then? Would it be a log cabin set at the site and then more tents brought in with, as the people came in? Or I don't quite understand.
The trapping cabin is a cabin way out there where one would be trapping from.
Oh,
and
I
that
see.
Would be the central place for trapping. But from the cabin, you go out far enough one day, then you'd have to put up a tent, which would be your trapping tent.
I see.
And then back, let me take you back before the settlement of Old Minto. And I think it was the same way all over in the interior. That was back when the missionaries went to these camps, when they were all spread out, no central settling community. Everybody was in their own way, moving around, following the game, or doing their subsistence activities seasonally. So back then they were all using tents, and a lot of times back before I was born, back in the 1800s, they were probably using fur like hides for their tents. Back before the settlement of the New Minto, Old Minto, it was more like the minister's job to get to these people and tell them that you need to start changing your ways because kids will have to go to school one day. So you would have to settle into one large community. Everybody moved back to this community so the kids can go to school. And then it would be easier for the minister, and it would be easier for a lot of things. And it took them quite a while to get the idea of what this minister is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And even my family, back when I was a kid, I remember when we had to move out during the winter, that would be when school would be on.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody got the idea that this teacher is going to teach our kids. He's going to teach them how to read and write and how to spell their name and even count numbers. And that was all great. So people begin to realize that they're heading into something new, and then they start practicing sending their kids to school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got like that, and then they got the idea every year they had to come back and start their kids to school. But that didn't stop them from the parents from doing their subsistence food gathering.
Mm-hmm.
They'd leave their kids with some family member and then go out and do these things, and they make sure they got enough food for the winter.
Mm-hmm. Well, Robert, I want to come back in just a minute, and this time I want to know how it was in your life growing up and how you went to school, and just all about Robert Charlie for a few minutes so that we can get an idea of how you experienced life in Minto during the early days. So we'll be right back.
If you type, listen to the radio, or talk on the phone.
Hello, Susan. This is Bob.
Then you've got to shop at Freddy's this week. Because if you watch TV, vacuum, or play computer game. You can save a lot of money during the Fred Meyer 7-day store-wide sale featuring a fall home electronics sale. You'll clean up on the savings at Freddy's semi-annual sale on the two best names in vacuums, Eureka and Hoover. Save on TVs, personal stereos, even videotape. If you've been wanting to buy extra phones, Freddy's has the sale you've been waiting for. All Casio keyboards, calculators, and watches are on sale, too. And, of course, Freddy's has everything else your kids need for back to school, with family clothing, shoes, health and beauty aids, and school supplies on sale this week. More low prices just when you need them. You'll find it at Freddy's. Prices good through Saturday, September 9th. Vacuums on sale through September 16th.
Listen, folks. I've got something that I want you to do for me, if you would. I want you to contact Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank and tell Connie Miller, who is the Assistant Vice President for Marketing, that you heard me talking about Mount McKinley right here on Alaska Gold Trails. You can either phone them at 452-1751, or you can drop in and see them. They're located downtown at 530 4th Avenue, with entrances on both 3rd and 4th Avenues, and of course the parking is on 4th. And just a little note here, Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank has been serving the people and businesses of Fairbanks since 1965. And being a mutual bank, Mount McKinley has no stockholders. Rather, it's managed by a board of trustees for the benefit of the depositors. So, if you wouldn't mind, stop over and tell Connie that you've been listening to Alaska Gold Trails. Jim Madonna was talking about them, and you heard that they were one of the fine sponsors that brought this radio show to you. And finally, I want to talk about our friends over there at 1916 South Cushman, another person or another company that's been with me since the beginning. And that, of course, is Tip Top Chevrolet. Tip Top Chevrolet Buick has been in business for 32 years. And it's interesting to note that it's been owned and operated by three generations of Ginthers, and Robbie Ginther is the general manager today. And I love to do this ad that Robbie has made available to me via television. He says, I plagiarized this absolutely from the television set. He says, I made a few modifications. Says, you've never driven anything like the 1989 full-size Chevy pickup available right now. At Tip Top Chevrolet, it's the hardest working pickup with the longest regular cab in Chevrolet history, and it's got a new chassis system, a new aerodynamic shape with a new rear wheel anti-lock brake system and Instatrack shift on the fly on the four-wheel drive. The 1989 full-size Chevy pickup, it's new, it's exciting, and it's here in Fairbanks at Tip Top Chevrolet, your Chevy Team Alaska dealer. Drop on over and take a look, folks. And don't forget, buckle up with Tip Top Chevrolet and tell Robbie I've been talking about him.
Fly high in style with a pair of Ray-Ban Ambermatic or Glacier-type sunglasses from Aviator Supply. Get a leather jacket or T-shirt. Pick up a coffee mug or a special gift for someone. Aviator Supply has instructional videos ranging from the novice to the air transport pilot and instructional books on all King courses. You can get all this and more at Aviator Supply in Washington Plaza Mall.
Once again, folks, we're here with Robert Charlie. Robert, tell us a little bit about how it was growing up in a small village like Minto. How many people were in Minto as you grew up? How did the population increase, and what did you do for entertainment and excitement and...
Well, the population is much smaller than it is right now. We have about 300 members in Minto. At the time when I was a kid, there was probably 75, 80, and there wasn't too many kids. I think by the time I was going to school, it must have been about 30 of us, and we all had one little classroom that we were going to school. And
one-room classrooms are fun. I went to school in a one-room classroom. Everybody was in the same room. You never knew if you were getting eighth-grade stuff or first-grade stuff.
You bet. And it was really, come to think of it, it's kind of funny for me to look back and think about school. And it was great, you know, back then to me.
What
it
kind of
something new?
What kind of games did you play in school? Did you, the traditional games that we think of, or did you have some native kind of games that you played?
No, we just had traditional kind of games. Our teacher just thought of whatever he could come up with, you know, like football and baseball and play games and that kind of thing.
And so you went through all eight grades right there in that school? Or?
No, I got out when I was sixth grade.
Sixth grade.
Uh-huh.
And what other activities did you participate in a family style? Did you go collect wood? Did you go on the trap in the trapping, the out camps and so forth when you were that young?
Yes. Of course, even right now they still practice it, but a lot of the kids, the family, is in a family, they have to take part in chores around the house. So during our school years, we'd have to chop wood after school, bring in some water, and clean up. The girls would clean up the house and kitchen work and that kind of thing. And you mentioned radio. I remember my brother brought first radio from Sears and Roebuck, and it was one of those big radio type with heavy battery, and it was in the 30s, I guess. We were catching KFAR then and listening to that station all the time, and that's how, I think it was educational, because a lot of us kids back then started speaking English pretty good by listening to radio and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that.
This is, I understand, the 50th year of KFAR. Is that correct? Do you hear that over the radio? 50th year?
Yeah, it was in the 30s when we got our radio on.
So you did participate in the out camps and so forth as far as your duties were concerned. Did you have dog sleds and things? How did you get from one point to another? Did you walk, dog sled, or was there another mode of transportation? When did the snow machine come into effect? Can I ask you a few more questions here that can confuse you all at once? Did you use dog teams, Robert?
Yes, we had dogs. Dog team was the major part of transportation.
How many dogs to a team generally?
Well, you'd have to kind of, a family will have to kind of justify that according to the size of family, because you have dogs, they run pretty expensive too for subsistence food. So you would have to do more work to gather food for the dogs also. So they didn't have too many dogs. I guess the most dogs a family would have maybe it would be 14 dogs or something like
mm-hmm.
that. But they were all good working dogs.
Uh-huh. And then you had your own team then, or just part of the family team?
It was just a family team.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And anybody in the family could drive the team?
Yes,
is that
as
right?
long as it was for a good purpose.
Sure, sure. Meaning simply that if you were going to the out camp, you could drive the team, or your father, or brother or something of that nature. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yes, I have four brothers and two sisters.
So you came from a relatively large family then?
Yeah, there was about eight or nine of us.
Uh-huh. Is that generally the size of the family at Minto, or were they smaller or larger? Or?
Well, back then it was about the size of family.
Mm-hmm. We want to come back in just a minute, and I want to hear, I think, there's some interesting things that you've been doing. We got a few minutes. I'd like for you to tell the listening audience what you've been doing here recently with regard to Minto and Minto Flats. So we'll be right back with that, Robert. And by the way, I wanted to ask the listening audience before we get into this next contest, do you want to become rich and famous? I've asked that question of a lot of people a lot of times, and Robert Charlie and his wife are over here both shaking their heads yes. And I think if you've been listening to KFAR, you've probably heard some ads on the radio that went something like this. They say, want to find gold or learn some of the ways to look for it? The University of Alaska Mining Extension has a marvelous 3-day gold prospecting class and field trip on Friday and Saturday evening, September 8th and 9th, and an all-day Sunday field trip, September 10th, in which you will learn where to look for gold and methods of mining it. So if you'd like to have more information, call Mining Extension at 474-7702 or Jim Madonna at 456-2569. And everyone is welcome, so come and join me for an enjoyable experience. But there's more to that. Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street, will pay the fees for this class if you can answer a question. And the fees are $40 for the class. Oxford Assaying and Refining said that they would pick up the tab for that if somebody in our listening audience could call me at 479-TALK, that's 479-8255, and tell us the last time gold was over $500 an ounce. And that's the month and the year. And if you have that information, give me a call here at 479-TALK, 479-8255, and you will win your fee waived to the gold prospecting class. So you've got till the end of the show, which is approximately 4 minutes away. Robert, last question. You've got a couple of minutes here. Tell us briefly what you've been doing out at Minto at this time and what you hope to achieve and accomplish through your efforts.
Okay, this past spring and part of last winter, we did some planning for this summer, and one of the projects that we were doing that we got some grants money for was to identify some sites in the Minto Flats area that were used by our ancestors and that which were used yet today. And then we got into another project where we were going to use videotape to go to these sites and take videotapes of people having tea, telling stories about the site, and putting all that together for future reference for our children that's coming up in another maybe 10, 20 years that want to know about these things. And then we we're going to, me and my wife is going to put a map together identifying all these historical places on the map and identify them along with the names of lakes and the streams that runs into the Minto Flats area. There are several projects been done in that regard, but nothing that show up to where it can catch an eye for people or students. So what we want to do is put a map together that'll benefit the students, the elders, and the young people in Minto, where they can see this map and say, oh, yeah, I know this lake. Now let me find out the name of it in Athabaskan. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. And then along with that, we had a camp in Old Minto. We're trying to revise Old Minto back into active status again by putting a cultural training camp there. And we had a very good summer this summer. And it was very excellent. We got a lot of support from individuals in Fairbanks, and everybody was supporting us from Minto and in Nenana. And we hope to continue with this project And hopefully this winter we'll be doing more plans to make it even more exciting for next summer.
Robert, let's see if we got a winner for this contest. Thank you very much for that information. Hi, you're on the air.
Was it 1978?
Nope, sorry.
All right.
Well, looks like we're running out of time here. Robert, Charlie, thank you very much for sharing this time with me on Alaska Gold Trails today.
Jim, I want to thank you and the audience, and I hope we all have a nice day. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you for joining us today. This is KFAR Radio 660 on your radio dial in Fairbanks, Alaska.
From ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick. The Navy's report on the disaster aboard the battleship Iowa says...